Well, Father, we thank you again for your word, the holy word of God. And Lord, we receive that right now by the Holy Spirit that you are going to unfold this word to each and every one of us. We receive, Father God, not my words, but your words imparted to us, imparted through us today. And we thank you, Father God, for wisdom, insight, and revelation knowledge coming forth in the knowledge of you and every hope to which you've called us in Christ Jesus. We seal this right now in the blood of Jesus, and we say that no outside force, no hindrance or weapon formed against us or this word, it shall not prosper, but we receive a standard round about us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you on the subject of love. Amen. Glory to God. The title of this message is called The Love of God. You know, today, especially here in America, you know, many times we don't seem to have a real revelation of what love actually is. You know, and I believe and I'm convinced that this is an assignment and a trick of the enemy to take something as pure as love and dumb it down to things such as, I love my car, I love pizza, I love donuts, I love things. That's not true love. That's certainly not the God kind of love. You know, because when we take these things and then if that remains our understanding of what love is, when the Bible tells us that God is love, then we can dumb this thing down in our own minds to not perceive and receive who and what he is. And so today I want to take you through some scriptures and be able to, I believe, by the help of the Holy Spirit, give us a better understanding of who he is and how he's alive in us today. Amen. Amen. And so let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to start here at verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Amen. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly or tenderly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. While we were yet weak, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Rarely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him? For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. How much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Furthermore, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have reconciliation. And so I want to draw attention here back in verse 5. This hope that we have, it will not lead to disappointment. No. He is the same God. He is absolutely faithful to his word, always watching over to perform it. He cannot, he will not ever change his mind about it. You know, God and his word, they are inseparable. They are one. I have a thought I want to share here, but John, hold your place. John chapter 1, verse 1. The word becomes flesh. It says in verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. And without him, nothing was created that was created. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. So we see here, God and his word, they are one. You can never separate God from his word. For God to somehow change his word would cause him to lie to himself, you know, which would, it cannot happen. It cannot change. You know, you are your word. Each and every one of us are our words, but how faithful he is to his word, you know? And so this is where we can place our faith and our hope and trust, because when we receive Jesus, he took all of him and poured all of that into us. You know, the very, so we saw when we go back to the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived a holy thing. It was the word of God inside of her as in a seed form that produced Jesus in the flesh. He was the word made flesh. We are the same word made flesh today. So we have this surety that as God is on the inside of us, he cannot change or take away that love from us, because to do so would to deny his own self, because it's him in us. We died the death of the cross. We were raised together with Christ, and the love that Father is the same love that's in me today. Amen. And now the Holy Spirit is here. He says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. So the Holy Spirit is here. The scripture tells us even as a down payment, he's here to take the things which are of the Father and reveal them to us here and now, so that we can have the restoration of the life and the fellowship that God originally intended in the garden with Adam and Eve. You know, if sin had never happened, what we saw in Eden is what's supposed to be living for us today. Jesus, the second Adam, came to restore us back to the garden, restore back the family of God, to have the same unbroken fellowship and the life of God in order for love to have his expression in us. Amen. Glory to God. He is about family. So the, you know, we think about, you know, in our life, it's easy to think in a natural term of, you know, how we relate to God. But God is in first and foremost all about relationship and fellowship with you. You know, I want to go do this for Jesus. I'm going to go win the souls. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That's wonderful. You know, we all are called to fulfill a purpose in this life. That's why we're here. You know, when I first gave my life back to the Lord and I'm here, am I, this thought came to me by the Holy Spirit. Why am I here? You know, and everyone asks the question at some point in their lives, why am I here? You know, and people spend their lives searching for it. And until you find Jesus, you'll never have the answer. You know, he is the answer. Love, his original intent for us is the purpose, you know? And so, anyway, he started dealing with me on that and revealing that to me. It's to be a son. We are called to sons and daughters of the Most High. Apart from this, we've missed why we're here. We've missed what, you know, the heart behind what we're doing. You know, if I don't know him, if I don't have intimate relationship and fellowship with him, how can I effectively share that with someone else? All the God and the Jesus that people will ever see is the God and Jesus that's in you. And if you don't know him, if you're not fellowshipping with him, then all they're seeing is you and a dab of him versus him with your personality, right? Amen. So we want people to see Jesus in us. I want to experience in me Jesus. I want to know him and the wonders of his person. The reason, why, Lord, why did you come? Why did Jesus, why would you come to this earth? You know, you had it made. You know, you had it made. And yet you saw me and you took my place. You went to the cross. Much more than that, you went to hell for me. Someone had to pay the sin price. You took it for me so that I wouldn't have to, so that I wouldn't have to taste death. Think about that. How awesome is that? And if I were the only one on the planet, he would have done it. He would have done it just for me. So when you see these things in the gospel, you have to make it personal, not as the multitudes, but no, for me. I receive this for me because you did it for me. Love could do no less. It wouldn't matter if there was 1, 1,000, or 1,000,000, or 10 billion. Love gives every time. And we're going to see that here in a minute. So let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Yeah. We thank you for your word. Verse 13. We know that we live in him, and he, or I want to stop here for just a second. When we see the word, and it would do us good, I think at times, when you see, when we're talking about him, whom, God, translate this love. God is love. We're going to see this here in just a second. God is love, but insert, so I'm going to change this verbiage, and where you see him, I'm going to insert love. And again, we're talking about him. We know that we live in him, love, and love in us, because love has given us love's spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father, love, sent the Son, love, to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of love, love lives in him and he in love. And we have come to know and believe the love that love has for us. God, or love, is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, or in love, and love in him. In this way, love's love is perfected in us, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as love is, so is Rodney, so are you now in this world. Amen. That's a lot. That's a lot. But this is love speaking to us. This is love speaking to Joyce. This is love speaking to Paula, to Marlene, to each and every one of us. And we receive, yes, I acknowledge that I live in him, and Father God, love, you live in me. And you have given us, and you've given me your spirit to reveal this truth to me. But notice here what John, who is the apostle of love, you know, in all of the apostles, he's the only one who wrote in such a way that he says the disciple whom Jesus loves. John had a revelation beyond even what the others experienced, you know, and it was before this reason that I, Rodney, am the disciple whom Jesus loves. This is this place that he is writing from. He has an understanding. They actually fellowship him in the flesh, but even in the spirit, we continue on to this day. Soon, I believe very soon, we'll see him face to face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have this hope. But noticing here, he says, and we have come in verse 16, and we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And so this is the place that we are wanting to press into, to know him and to believe in a greater way and capacity who he is, because I cannot go beyond what I know. So again, I have to see something. I have to know something. I need to experience something. And as I'm growing in my relationship, as I'm growing in my fellowship, I'm becoming more Christ-like. I'm coming into harmony with him. All of him, none of me. You know, now we have our own personalities and we're all unique. God created us that way. That's good. But it's his nature. You know, it's the fruit of the Spirit. This is what I want to see manifest in my life. This is his desire, because as we come into harmony with him, we're going to be able to fellowship in a greater degree, greater capacity. And Jesus, if we go back to the Gospels, he says, because I go to my Father, greater works shall you do. How is that possible? Jesus, the second Adam, was functioning in one sense as Adam was in the garden, yet Adam was functioning absent from sin until, you know, the serpent came. Jesus came with the same authority, same word manifested, and everywhere he went, the word manifested itself in signs, wonders, miracles, manifestations. All of these things were happening because it was the word manifest. That same word is in us today, endeavoring to manifest itself in us and through us to reach out to others. Amen. Praise God. So love is always giving. Love is always preferring. We want to take a little bit more than this. So looking at this love here, going back to the Greek, this love is translated as agape. I'm sure you've heard the word if you've been in Christian circles very long. But this Greek word prior to the New Testament was unheard of. It existed, but it had not real definition to it. And it wasn't until the New Testament came that they started using this word agape, 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 and actually were able to add better translation to it to define the God kind of love, because this love was not in the earth. You know, the Greek language has several different words that they use for love, which I believe is very useful. Unlike the English language, we're using love for all types of things that it doesn't necessarily mean. One of the examples in Greek is phileo. I phileo you. This is a brotherly love or a friendship love. And again, they have different words for love. I won't really get into all of those, but the agape love is reserved for the God kind of love. And this is the love that is a selfless love. It is an unconditional love. It's going to give to the max, its highest and its best. It cannot ever withhold any good thing. It speaks of a covenant love. You know, when you see, you know, really throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, this is a book of covenants, covenant after covenant after covenant. You know, the Abrahamic covenant, all of these covenants, number one, there was always blood sacrifices in there. So we have, you know, in our sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, which is our eternal surety. But in this, there were conditions, there were promises, you know, that were made, and there was curses. You know, here's the blessing, here's what we're going to do, and if you break it, here's all the bad stuff that's going to happen to you. This has gone on in tribal communities throughout the ages and still exists to this day. But looking at this love, this is a love that cannot be broken. Number one, it's signed and sealed in the blood of Jesus. It cannot turn back. But it's the love that says, I'm going to give all of me, whatever it is that you require of me, I'm going to give it all. I cannot and I will not ever hold back in any degree or form. God established it. He said it that way. Because again, love wants to pour out all that it has. It wants to have that fellowship and that relationship. And if it was to withhold anything, it wouldn't be real love. It would be a self-love that is self-serving. That is not God. God is going to give all and give all and give all and give all, hoping and believing all the while that someone will say yes to salvation. Someone's going to respond on some level and receive it. And now we can have this family. Now we can have fellowship. Yeah. This is what it's all about. First and foremost, before we go anywhere else, it has to be about this. Amen. So again, this is a covenant love based on a decision. James chapter 1. Just turn back a few pages. James chapter 1. Verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no change or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or his creation. Again, we see here in verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from him, and he cannot change. There's no degree of shadow of turning. So what this is saying in this covenant love, Again, we have the blood of Jesus that has washed us and cleansed us because he doesn't want to keep anything separate from us, right? Mm-hmm. So he's setting this up so that even though we miss the mark daily,
yeah,
in ways that we know, ways that we don't even know, the blood of Jesus is still there continually cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that love can have its purpose fulfilled, which is I'm going to always be on. I'm going to always be pouring out all of me, all of me, all of me, all of me, all of me. You have this sure hope. I'm going to be faithful to watch over my word to perform it in your life. You may not believe it. You may not receive it. You may not ever act on it, but I'm still going to be giving all the time. And if you will turn and receive it, I'll manifest myself to you. Amen. So again, of his own will, he brought us forth by his word of truth, not by my will, not by my wishing, not by his will. He established it this way so that he, so again, there's no performance on my part that's going to change or affect him, right? Amen. There's no performance on my part. This is the love that says there's nothing that you could ever do to make me love you anymore. There's nothing that you could ever do to make me love you any less. I love you because I love you, period. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So this is not a feeling. Love will produce a feeling. It will produce emotions, but it's never based on that. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. I know oftentimes, you know, we may experience things in our lives, you know, that stir up a lot of emotions and feelings, but the greater one lives in us that rises above our feelings and allows love to pour out. Amen. And so the more that we're yielding to him, he's going to be able to demonstrate Christ-like love. Amen. And we're going to be able to come up higher and live free. Amen. Glory to God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. You know what, Paula, can I use your amplifier now? There's a lot of wonderful translations, and I encourage you to get them all, look at them, read them, study them. But personally, especially in this passage, I like the Amplified Bible, but 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, and he's been sharing with them some things, but he's telling them the greatest thing that you can come to know. So he just went through in verse 12, going through all the gifts of the Spirit, and those are wonderful things, but he's saying now the greatest of these is love, and it's only by love will any of those others ever work. Because it's him, it's his Spirit. And you're not going to have a different kind of a spirit and think that I'm going to flow in the Holy Spirit over here. Not going to happen. You know, these are going to counteract one another. And he talks about this even further in the first three verses of chapter 13. But let's pick up here at verse 4. You have marked this up. Love endures long and is patient. And it is kind. Aren't you thankful? Yes. Amen. I think about, you know, all the different times, and you can think back, all the times that we have fallen short, fallen away, whatever those things were, but love endures long and is patient and it is kind with us. He finds no fault in you. Love finds no fault in you. And again, there's nothing you could ever do to make him love you any more or any less. He is love. You know, we think in terms of love as something that, you know, I am Rodney, I am all these things, and I love you. But, you know, a human love can be a very fickle thing. And we don't have to think too long and hard about that. We see it in our own lives. There's plenty of examples throughout Scripture that show these things to us. But God He endures long, he is patient, and he is forever kind to us. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Amen. Love is not dominating or over anybody. It's not jealous because somebody else got that new house or that new car or that promotion. No, love rejoices with those that rejoice. Amen. God has got you. He's got you right where he needs you. Amen. And he will always, again, love is already, we saw going back to James 1, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. He is always pouring out his best upon you. He has you where he has you because he needs you there. He has you because you're in a season of training for reigning. Amen. It may not look like it. Lord, why am I here? I know I'm called to pastor. Why am I over here? I'm called to start this business. Why am I over here? Well, I'm preparing you for this thing, but if you won't stand in this season, I can't use you in that season. So whatever he has for you, acknowledge him, receive it by faith, knowing that he's got me, because he does. Love is not and cannot. Love cannot withhold from you. It is a covenant that says, I cannot, I will give it to you. Amen. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Again, we see this. It's not seeking after self. It's coming into harmony and alignment, discovering, Lord, why am I here? He will tell you. If we'll come to him with that kind of an attitude in faith, he'll speak to you. He'll show you, why am I here? Well, I need to get this to you. I need you to develop in this. We need to study this. We need to grow in this. And as you'll do this step, we can get you to the next step. But if and until, you won't get there. So you trying to make this happen on your own is not going to work, because this, you're doing it apart from God, and there's no grace on you to do it in and of yourself. That was never the plan. Adam and Eve, they worked hand in hand with God. God would reveal something to them by them, and in their spirit, they would see and know what to call this thing. You know, I think about Adam naming all the animals, all the bugs and birds and all of these things. How did he know what to call them? God revealed it to him by his spirit, and then he spoke it out just like God did, and then it became an elephant. It became a frog. It became, why did he have to say a fly? I don't know. But anyway, that's just the curse. Anyway, but this is, again, I'm not seeking after my own will. I'm not just coming up with something. I'm seeking after him, and now life works. Life works when I work it through him and with him, as was the original intent. Again, this is the whole reason. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to the suffered wrong. Again, in this life, we live in a fallen world. There is a very real devil. There is a very real hell, you know, and there's a lot of devils in this earth who are going to come to tempt you, to come to harass you. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote about this. You know, he was harassed in the flesh by the devil. Again, he sent people to come and harass him. And, of course, he was beaten, thrown into jail, and all of these things happened. But it's not counting this. Again, think about Jesus on the cross, Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Only love could ever make a statement like that. Only the God kind of love. But that love is in each and every one of us today. The same capacity to not just faith it, not just to declare it, but to actually move in that. Now, again, I'm going to walk by faith, and regardless of how I feel about it in the moment. And I know that Jesus had feelings. He had feelings. He had emotions. We see, you know, in the fact that Jesus wept, Jesus groaned, all of these different things. He lived in the physical body. He was familiar with us. And so we have the ability to come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you now, you know, and he will be right there to minister the same grace to overcome that situation that he flowed in when he was in the earth. Amen. He's ever living to make intercession for us. To make intercession is not just to pray fervently. Intercession is to take the place of. Intercession takes the place of. He ever lives to take our place and to minister his power, his love, all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of the fruit of the Spirit, whatever the situation demands, he is the standby. He is the helper. He is the intercessor there to manifest love in that situation, to heal your life, to heal your body, to heal your heart. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your truth and your freedom today. Amen. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth, the word is truth, when the truth prevails. In every situation, there is the word. Amen. And when and the word will fight its own fight. Amen. And when we stand on it, it will prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Not every believer, but every person. Amen. Every one of us were created in the image and likeness of God. God has a plan of redemption and salvation for every man. We see this, you know, he said in 1 Timothy 2:4, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come into the saving knowledge of the truth. Amen. And so, glory to God. But again, he cannot change. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. So again, Jesus on the cross, he's telling them, I find no fault in you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even if they do know what they're doing, they don't know really what they're doing. Amen. They're after their father, the devil. Amen. But love never fails. Love never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. So for all of eternity, and we're in eternity right now, for all of eternity, love cannot ever change its mind. Love will never fail. It will never in any degree diminish. It cannot. This is the thing. Love cannot diminish in any way. Father is always pouring out all of him. All of heaven is poured out continually in you and on you to fill you to the full. All right. If Ephesians chapter 1, I just want to turn over there quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. All right. I know my place. Oh, here. We have the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This prayer that the Apostle Paul, he was praying here in Ephesians 1. I would encourage you to take this prayer. And we can just start it and read through this prayer. But this prayer was to the church at Ephesus, but it's something that he said, I pray this for all the saints. Let's start here at verse 15. Therefore, I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you. Again, mentioning you in my prayers. And so this is where we, here at verse 17, take this prayer and make it personal. And so at verse 17, we said, so the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give me, may give Rodney, put your name in there, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of Rodney's understanding may be enlightened, that Rodney may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward Rodney, who believes according to the working of his mighty power, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things, amen, all things in subjection under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all ways. All things in all ways. So we see so much in this statement, but again, we've been seated above. We have been seated above. He is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. You cannot separate the head from the body. Whatever is true about him is true about me. That is the revelation of the New Testament. All of these epistles were written to reveal Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the four gospel accounts, we see from man's perspective what man was seeing in the life of Jesus up to the cross. In the book of Acts, and in particular in Romans, going through these epistles, the revelation is now in Christ, in whom this is telling us who we are, what we can have, what we can do, who we can be in him. This is all a picture, and this is really culminated. This is one of the one of the prayers, and we'll go through others as time allows, not today, but looking at these. But I would encourage you, take this, print it out on your card, put your name into it, and pray it morning, noon, and night, and pray it every day. If you want to grow in the knowledge of him, if you want to grow in wisdom, if you want to see and know more about him, pray this prayer. He will manifest. He's already pouring it out. This is us in faith coming to him. I believe I receive wisdom, insight, and revelation. I want to see and know the hope to which I'm called in Christ Jesus. What is my calling? What is it you have for me in this day, in this hour? And I believe right here when he says, the fullness of him who fills all things and in all ways. He's going to fill everything in all of my ways. I'm believing, I'm receiving, and I'm aware of him. He's filling all in all in this situation. Amen. Whatever I have need of, he is right there to manifest the presence of love. Glory to God.